Welcome to Delightfully Dysfunctional, a podcast about navigating the emotions of the human condition and the challenges that come with it. I'm Kaylani Persian Mason, a psychotherapist and life coach with James Timmons and Ever Curious Human. This is not a replacement for mental health therapy. Please seek out mental health care if that's what you're needing. This is an opportunity for self-healers to dive deep and understand more about themselves.
Welcome back to Delightfully Dysfunctional. I'm Kaylani and this is James.
Hey there.
And I'm honestly just like bringing you the things that I've been marinating on, especially in the last few days, and have inspired me, which is typically what I do. Sometimes there's a little bit more planning than that, but I've been watching a lot of Gabor Mate lectures and things like that. I'm not sure. Have you heard that name?
Never heard that name. Nope.
Gabor Mate. He is a Canadian-born physician, and he has really studied the intricate connection between the body and the brain, our emotions and our body. And I wanted to dive deeper into that topic, partially because as part of my own personal healing journey, I'm in that phase of needing to recognize and pay attention to my body and the messages that it's giving me in what I need to do to heal. So let me share a little bit more about Gabor.
Okay.
His grandparents, I believe, passed away in the Holocaust, and he and his mother barely made it out. And at one point, he was a Hungarian-born physician. And then I think he immigrated to Canada, I believe, as that makes more sense now as I'm telling the story. Apologies. But he barely made it out. And to keep him safe when he was, I believe, an infant, maybe a toddler, his mom had to pass him off to someone else. Oh, and man. So as a young child, that feels like an abandonment.
Yeah.
And he then is really open now in sharing that trauma and that process of unpacking it that he's gone through. But as a physician, he also has paid attention to a lot of the illnesses that came up that he saw within his practice and realized no one was asking these people about the past trauma that they've had, about the habits they've had, about the mindset that they have. And there were some really strong themes that arose. And in Western medicine, we don't ask those questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm excited to talk a little bit about it and about how, you know, what we go through really affects our nervous system. It affects our cells on a deep level. It affects our DNA.
Yeah.
And the trauma that's passed down from our parents affects our DNA. He gave this description that I think is really easy to understand of viewing the telomeres of our DNA, the strands of our DNA, as like shoelaces or maybe even like the strings on a hoodie.
Okay.
And a healthy telomere has that like end cap to it to reduce fraying. And when you've been through trauma and even just chronic stress, that end cap disintegrates and fraying begins, which means that premature aging and autoimmune illnesses and cancers and dystrophies show up in the body. One of the lectures that I heard felt really profound to me in a couple of ways because I could resonate with either family members who I've seen those illnesses, and he was spot on with describing some of the habits that they had and spot on in describing some of the illnesses that show up for me. I grew up in a loving home, but in a home that had a lot of stress. And I am so not unique to that. And I have asthma, and I had asthma when I was young, although it wasn't diagnosed. And what's interesting is that the medication that's used for asthmatics, it mimics stress hormones, and that's what dilates your bronchi in your lungs.
Oh.
Because your body has depleted it. So when you are in a home of chronic stress, and tiny humans are little sponges.
Oh. Yeah.
The stress of the parent affects you.
That's interesting. Yeah, because like you sort of, when you're under stress, you'll kind of like try to take deep breaths and stuff, you know, and so I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually talking to somebody yesterday about we were talking about like grandparents, our generation's grandparents. Like my grandparents were not healthy at all. They smoked and drank like every day.
And you're speaking more to like your dad's side of the family, right? Mm-hmm.
But they lived like into their 90s, and we were like, how do they all, like, you hear about that a lot, like people our age, our grandparents, they'll like, yeah, my grandma smoked a pack of cigarettes a day and she lived to 90 years old. But then I look back and I'm like, well, my grandparents were content and they were like settled, they were happy. And so I've thought lately, like, I wonder, like, you could pollute your body, and but then if you are happy, it's gonna be like stress is gonna kill you a lot faster than cigarettes. Well, I don't know if that's true. Don't quote me on that.
Actually, but I feel like I'm gonna somewhat like misspeak here, but reflecting back on like Gabor's lectures that I've been listening to, there's a higher correlation of stress related illness than there is to cigarettes causing lung cancer.
Right. So then, yeah.
And trauma and autoimmune illnesses. And yet, again, like, this isn't something that, there's not a screening, there's no conversations around that.
Yeah. Yeah, well then, like, the next generation, my dad, he passed away when he was, like, in his early 60s. Mm-hmm. And I know that he was always high stress and, yeah, just like my outside observation of him was always like he sort of like stored a lot of his emotions. Yeah. And so
and he speaks to that. He speaks to specifically cancer and people who just push things down.
Exactly.
And don't take care of themselves, don't love themselves.
Right. And his generation, the boomers, they were notorious for suppressing and like really poo-pooing super like traumatic stuff.
But it was survival too, right? Like some of these things are how we survived as children in a world that felt unsafe, but we don't put down that weapon.
Yeah.
We're just hitting ourselves over with this hammer.
Exactly. And like you had alluded to briefly how Western medicine doesn't usually address this because Western medicine, a lot of it is all about like pharmaceuticals and just diagnosing and pushing pills.
Take this.
You talk to you go to a doctor today, most, and you tell them you're depressed. Most likely, they're going to prescribe you. They're not going to send you to like therapy. And it's like, well, we're pushing back because I'm sick of that shit. Of like, we're a sick society, and we need to lean into our feelings and like process this because I don't want the next generation to just have to be to suppress more and die young. You know, we're here to save lives, and we're going to do it by like feeling our feelings.
Yeah. By crying for you.
Yeah.
And you know, exactly. Now I'm like trying to find my train of thought. You're saying some juicy stuff, James. I liked it. We are needing to do an overhaul. We are needing to make some changes. And so far, it has been done half-assed.
Absolutely. And it's been done like quarter-assed.
Yeah. Quarter-assed.
Like,
even you speaking to like how the medication would be prescribed, I would even say like, is anyone asking how much time are you spending outside?
Right. None of that.
Your body?
I mean, what's sad about our healthcare, and this could be a whole episode, but I'm not going to go too deep, but like the nutrition isn't even addressed when you talk about like sleep. Mental health and nutrition are almost always overlooked when you go see a primary care physician, because like unfortunately a lot of them are just kind of like brokers for big pharma. Mm-hmm. and
that's how they've been trained too, right?
Like exactly.
You
don't,
if you have dark sunglasses on, you're not going to see the clarity and like the range of color and the range of solutions that are available. I encourage anyone to look into Gabor Mate's work when it comes to, you know, he talks about addiction and trauma, our stress response, the power of connection, being truly authentic, all these things.
Yeah.
And the suppression of emotion, our emotions are guides.
Yeah.
So yeah. If we are suppressing them and we are numbing them, even through these medications, I'm not saying don't take an SSRI because there are some people who truly have an imbalance. But to be quite honest, it is it is not 100% of the people who are on those medications.
Yeah.
And it just suppresses what you are feeling. It is just quieting your emotional guides that are screaming at you to change something and live more authentically. You will get sick. It will show up somewhere else.
Absolutely. Let's say you have a flesh wound and you feel the pain. That's your body's way of sending signals to your brain. You need to address this flesh wound. And all of us will go, oh gosh, there's blood. We need to bandage it. We need some first aid. Maybe some of us will go immediately to opiates to numb the pain, but you're still going to see it.
And in fact, like, opioid use and opioid addiction just creates more pain receptors in your body.
Yeah.
So that's why it is such a difficult drug to get off.
Yeah.
And so devastating.
Right. But so, like, emotional pain has to be treated the same way. When you feel internal pain, that's your body sending a signal to your brain. Yeah. There's a wound. We need to address it. But yeah, we've become so conditioned and trained to numb that pain. Oh, no. Let's go back to the antidepressants and numb the pain. But that's, yeah, exactly. And then more pain compounds, and then there's more to address. So it's like, you gotta listen to those feelings, and because it's telling you something. Mm-hmm. It's information for sure.
Yeah. Another aspect of what I've learned from Gabor Mate is the toxic aspect of our culture that prizes and celebrates people who self-sacrifice and work so hard to their utter detriment.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Gosh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to say this.
That was heavy.
It's flowing, man. But like, there are people who self-sacrifice and we praise them and we say that's a beautiful thing and they work their ass off and then they die at 50.
Yeah.
No. You slow down. You are a human being, not a human doing. Your worth and your value is not in just the chugging along and breaking of your spirit. There is nothing honorable in that.
Right.
There isn't.
Absolutely.
Like, when you take that decision to actually take care of yourself, and I don't even know if people know how to define that. To be quite honest, I've had to learn how to define that for myself. It's unique to each person in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But there are consequences, and I'll give some examples that Gabor highlighted, but also some examples of people in my life and personal examples. So he was reading different obituaries of people who, you know, were described in this sense of, like, they worked until their last week while the cancer riddled their body.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
And, you know, it didn't stop their dedication to their job or their volunteer work. Yet, were they taking care of themselves? And we say, oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Look at that. Wow. You know, like, start to pay attention to how you notice those situations and those stories that come up.
Yeah.
And what's happening to these people is, like, there's an attack, this either a cancer or an autoimmune condition that is just eating away at them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no way to just continually suppress your needs. It will show up somehow.
Right. Yeah, I think that, like, the capitalistic worldview has really, like, forced us to celebrate grinding and striving, because the ultimate American hero is, like, a billionaire who, like, gave up their whole life and their family and everyone to reach high heights of financial success, and they'll always tell you, like, you know, that they weren't fully fulfilled. But my mind went straight to, like, when you go to a funeral of like a grandma, and people will go up there and say like, yeah, my grandma, you'd never find her out of the kitchen. She'd always be serving. She'd always she'd always be baking something. And like, she never sat, she always waited until everyone was done eating till she sat and to sit down, eat by herself. And we, you know, she was such a servant. And it's like, poor grandma. Why? Like that, you know, well, how come you guys didn't tell her to sit down?
Yeah.
Or why didn't you tell her, like, why don't you go help her in the kitchen? Or, you know, and it's like, because, and then we see in our generation, a lot of like women will, sort of fall into that again, where they're not allowed to kind of have their identity. They just, they fall into the servant role. And then,
and society has taught them to, that's the only way, and to feel shame,
right?
To feel deep shame for even considering what you need.
Right. And then but then they have the secret double life because like somebody somewhere validates them. And then,
I don't know that everyone has a double life, but I think suppressed need. Oh gosh, I have a really embarrassing story, but I'm gonna share it. I had to consider it, but I'm not gonna share all the details. I want to protect some of the people that this might involve.
Okay.
I followed through on a really big life-altering decision in my life. That's a lot of life. You get what I'm saying? And my body was screaming at me not to. And I did not want to listen to it.
Oh, gosh.
I didn't want to listen to it because I didn't want to disappoint people.
Mm.
I didn't want to listen to it because I thought it would mean something about my commitment or my loyalty to someone else instead of really paying attention to my commitment and my loyalty to myself and my authenticity.
Mm.
And that showed up in like the most terrible hemorrhoids that I could not even barely walk.
Dang.
My body was like, we will not allow you to go through with this physically.
Yeah. It sounds like you put the anal in self-analysis. I'm so sorry.
Like, that made me think of, oh my gosh, Arrested Development. Have you ever watched that show?
Parts.
Oh my gosh. He was like, I'm going to be, he was combining like,
oh yeah, I know,
anal rape. He was like, it was therapist, but there was like two words he was combining. What was that?
An analytical therapist.
An analytical therapist. He was like, the anal rapist is what it looks like. Oh my God. It was terrible. Someone else will correct that because I'm not remembering it right, but it was like a really hilarious thing. It was terrible. But like, your body, it will show up in these ways. And my body, like, even in the last couple of years, has sent me some loud messages about like, take care of me.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
quit saying yes to these other things and take care of me. And when you don't know what that version of you looks like, because you've never met that version, it feels really daunting, but you really need to be compelled to take that path and be curious enough to learn.
Absolutely.
He also spoke of ALS, arterial lateral sclerosis, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease.
Mm.
And he told a story of a woman who was a teacher, and she could no longer grip her pen anymore. She had quite a noticeable change of gait to her walk.
Mm.
And instead of going in and asking for help, she really prolonged it. And instead, she would just wake up at like 4 or 5 a.m. and stay until 7 to make sure that she could get there and like warm up her body to painstakingly and slowly write down the lesson plans on the board.
Jeez.
And ignored what was going on within her. And this is the curse of the caregiver. And I feel it. Like, I've given my clients full hour sessions and sometimes gone over.
Yeah.
And a clinical hour is 50 so that you can at least have the time to go to the bathroom and get some water.
Right.
And like, I don't do that. I don't allow myself that. And then there's so much work that spills into my evenings when I just want to be connected to my family.
Yeah.
I'm really having to do an overhaul of those things. And, you know, I think sometimes people might hear my honesty. I don't know if they do or not. I guess this might be my insecurity, that people might hear my honesty and say, why would I take advice from this lady? Mm-hmm. She ain't got her shit together. And I'm just promising to be a beautiful, messy work in progress, yeah, and not be perfect. And I think I'd like to illuminate that humans and like therapists are human.
Yeah.
And I want to illuminate that I am here along on that process. And if there is a therapist out there that likes to just sit in that ego and say, well, I've arrived and I know everything, I don't think that they're a very good therapist.
Yeah.
Like, I think that the best people that aid and facilitate healing are the ones who've like been in the storm.
Right.
And had to figure out and navigate their way out of that mess too.
Yeah, usually they're the experts. Yeah. What you were mentioning about the lady with ALS, it reminded me like how she was like too like ashamed to to like ask for help or whatever. It reminded me of like, I remember one time I eat really fast, I was eating chicken and rice, and I just started choking, and I was with my family, but I like ran into the bathroom because I was too embarrassed to be choking. And that, in that moment, I realized, why did I run away when in embarrassment? Like, what if I couldn't get it out? You know, what if I died, and I died because I was too embarrassed to like ask for some help? And that's you. And if I heard that, that's actually a pretty common reaction when somebody starts choking. They're embarrassed, so they go hide and choke, and then a lot of them will die. You know,
Yeah, I think that that's a story that needs to be heard. Don't hide.
Yeah.
Don't hide.
You're choking. If you have a need, like, get some attention, ask for some help.
And we live in such this like individualistic culture when we are social primates. We are meant to be living in community, and we have just like decimated it. Like, people find community through, and that, I'm not saying that some of these things are wrong, but certainly they are by far the junk food of connection, and it is not like a hearty replacement for what is really needed. Like sports teams, there's like community and tribe through that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it's not the same thing as like true connection. Or name brands, people find community and tribe through that, and it is not the same thing. Politics, that's really strong right now. It's not the same thing.
No.
And like going back even to like the stories of ALS and Lou Gehrig himself, who in like American culture, most people associate ALS with just Lou Gehrig's disease. He didn't miss a game. I believe there was a record for like consecutive games played.
Yeah. Cal Ripken Jr. beat it, but yeah.
But he wasn't.
It stood for a long time.
Yeah, for a long time. He wasn't an alien. He still had the flu. He still got sick.
Yeah.
He still got injured. And when they x-rayed his hands, they had 17 breaks that hadn't been properly treated.
Dang.
So he had this deep inability to ask for help and to pause.
Yeah.
And I have someone who was near and dear to my heart who had ALS and passed away several years ago. And I realized that there was truth in that story too. Because that woman worked until the last days. She was still making calls on her research. She was using eye gaze technology when her fingers would no longer obey the commands that her mind would give them. And it just makes me feel like we need to lean into breaking apart that framework that has been such a lie and does not serve us.
Yeah.
I could go on and on, and I think that this needs to be a continual series that we discuss, because we haven't even tapped into like childhood trauma and the autoimmune diseases that are born from that.
Yeah.
And even like just the way that we are in relation with ourselves. So if you are feeling a disconnection from your body, and if you are noticing things arise within your body, perhaps take a step back from what Western medicine has taught you. And this is not a blame. This is not a blaming and saying like, wow, shame on you for getting cancer. That is terrible. That's not what I'm saying. Mm. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we need a wider lens.
Absolutely.
It's been far too narrow.
Totally. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Delightfully Dysfunctional. I hope that there were pieces that resonated with you. And if you haven't checked out our other YouTube content, we are on the NF journey and it is a tasty little morsel. So please like, subscribe, share with a friend, leave some comments, give us some love. It allows us and it fuels us to be able to continue to provide this content and to continue to give more of ourselves. Because it feels so good to be raw and real with you and curious.
It does.
Thank you, delightful human. We'll see you in the next one.
Bye.